Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, I want you to get this first word because it's a deep word. Go. You say, what? It's a deep word. Because a lot of us never do what this word says. We sit. We stand. Now, oh, that's good too. That's good. It's good. But he said, go. Brother Tenney said this years ago, the famed T.F. Tenney, one of the most amazing preachers who ever lived, and her boss for 3 years. He said, what is it about go that you don't understand? Because he knew it wasn't, he had a great mind. He knew that go was not a deep word. Like, look that up in your Webster's. Would somebody look that up in your Webster app? What is it about the word go that you don't get? It's not a deep word, but we sin against this word often, most every day. Because we are so busy about a lot of stuff that's secondary. And we're missing the primary. Go ye, you, me, us. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. To look at that word gospel. You can't say it without saying go. Go spell. It's like it's saying, well, okay, you want to test? Spell go. Nobody's going to misspell it because it's a simple word whose depths have never been fully plumbed. Spell go. Gospel. Go preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16. I love this one. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Notice where that is there. It's not he that believeth is saved and should someday consider getting dunked. He that believeth and is baptized, and puts the shall be saved to the right of baptism. I find that most instructive, very instructive. But he that believeth not shall be damned, or the Greek word means eternally condemned. Verse 17, and these signs, how many of you believe in miracles? How many of you believe in the power of God? The power of God came down here today. And these signs shall follow. Shall follow. I don't run after miracles. But you and I, if we're doing what he tells us to do, they will run after us. I'm not a miracle monger. But I'm a Jesus believer. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. I preached on that a few weeks ago. Yeah. On a Sunday morning. It's awesome to preach on deliverance on Sunday morning. It gets everybody upset. No, I'm teasing. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall, I love this part. They shall speak with new tongues. How many of you have spoken with new tongues? Languages. How many of you have ever been beside Pastor and Sister Meadows? How many of you have ever been understood and somebody's come to you to say, did you know that you were? Has anybody ever had that experience? Should we tell them about Bobby, the college kid in Tennessee, when he came up to you and said, Sister Meadows, do you speak Spanish? Isn't that how you said it? And you don't. You might know adios. You probably know adios. And he was a college kid that wasn't sure that all that we were doing there and preaching there was he'd never, he just was new. And you were speaking, and he said, perfect Spanish. Praying in perfect Spanish, a language you do not know. I had 2 years of Spanish training. You've had none. But he said it, he was trembling because God just showed up and showed Bobby that he was real. Because people that haven't learned Spanish don't speak in Spanish perfectly. As impossible as la verdad. Is that the truth? Si, es la verdad. It is the truth. Watch this now. Oh, wow. Verse 18. They shall take up serpents. That's not telling us to run out and grab some snakes and put them in boxes and bring them to church. I don't believe in that. I preach against that. I believe that's absolute nonsense on steroids, large font, highlighted and underlined. That is absolutely ridiculous. What he's saying, if you look at the context, right? A text without a context is a pretext, right? Look at the context. He's talking about divine protection. If they drink any deadly thing, see, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. He's talking about giving people divine protection. Sister Lisa, I believe some of that divine protection is on you today. Yes. Against that spider. Okay? So he's talking about, you go and preach this gospel, and I'll do miraculous things to protect you. Wow. Praise God. Paul is gathering sticks on the island of, then it was called Melita, we know it now as Malta, and a viper fastened to that. There it is. There's the fulfillment of that scripture. He shakes it off into the fire. You know what? If you get the fire going, there's a whole lot of stuff you can shake off into it and keep on moving. Oh, praise God. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. How many of you believe that? So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20. And they went forth. And they went forth and preached everywhere. They took the word go seriously. And preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now here's what we do. We want God to just throw out all kinds of confirmation. We just don't give him anything to confirm. We want confirmation, but it says that he confirms the word. What I see in these verses is a strong connection. We all, have you ever prayed this prayer? Oh, Lord, I would love to see some miracles. Anybody ever pray like that? Lord, could we see your power? Fess up with me right now, because I'm sure I prayed that way. And lift your hand and say, yes, I want to see your power. His miracles are connected to our going. And if we're not going, we don't have the full biblical right to expect signs to confirm our non-going or our disobedience. He doesn't confirm disobedience with signs. He confirms our going and preaching his word. Can you see the connection? So my subject today is, what is it about go that we don't get? Lift your hands. Lord Jesus, right now we ask you, Lord God, to give us understanding. Give us understanding, I pray. I take dominion over the enemy. I take dominion over the enemy in Jesus' name. Let light shine in this building. Let the light of God shine in this building, I pray. Help us to see, God, in your word, your heartbeat. Give us a passion for the lost, I pray. Give us a passion for the harvest. Woo! Jesus' name, would you pray that with me? Give us a passion for the harvest, Lord. Give us a passion for the lost in Jesus' name. Would you clap your hands to the Lord right now? Yes, Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. So miracles, and many of us have been healed. Bob, you remember when I came in that door it was a year ago. Do you know how long ago it was? Probably at least a year. And I just felt to put a big old bear hug on him. When you run into a bear, give him a hug. And I didn't realize he was fighting sickness. I don't think I knew it then. But maybe you said something to me. Did I pray for you right then? Okay. Prayed a little prayer for him. And he tells us later that God healed him right there. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. I shared, last week with a story about the gentleman that I went up into the top of James Cancer Center just a few weeks ago. Brother Cunningham sent me there to follow up on the brother of a preacher in his church who had been fighting, I think it was stage 4, stage 4 cancer. And it was an interesting experience because I'd never met him, but hung out with him and prayed over him and rebuked it in Jesus' name before we left. So we get the word back just days later. They did some more tests on him. There's no cancer in his body. And these signs shall follow them. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We shouldn't be surprised when we go out and pray when God confirms his word with signs following. Come on, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Okay, so now I'm going to share with you a story that I've never told in all of these decades that I've been here. Only one. About 10 years. never shared this here. Why haven't you shared it? I didn't know about it. Just until of late. But I was down there in New Mexico in some of these areas. Sister Eastridge, who was like, how do we describe, well, let's give you a clue of just how unique she was. She was Sister Freeman's mom. And a mighty woman of God. A mighty woman of God had gone to a metropolis named Clovis, New Mexico. Over there on the, right by the border on the eastern side. Here's Albuquerque up here. And here's Clovis over down here, right by the border there. And she had started a church, got a little group of people together. Anyway, they were needing a building. But a few weeks before something like that broke, kind of had a breakthrough with that. She was coming back with her, with Jerry Eastridge, who we've preached for, who was a missionary to the Navajo Indians. That was a neat place to preach because it takes about 9 Navajo words for every English word. And I'd rear back to say something because she's still translating. Sister Pearl, and she'd look right up at the ceiling. She'd never look at the people. She'd look at the ceiling. And Sister Pearl. So there was something lost in translation is what I'm trying to tell you. Something was lost there. Some of my excitement sort of like got, you know, filtered out. So, but precious, precious lady. And it took her a while to get through, you know, 9 Navajo words for every English word. And I'd say something. That was good. And she, it took me 1 minute to say it. It took her 9 minutes to translate it. Okay. Woo! Man, that'll slow you down just a little bit. Cut that message down, boy. Hope you can get through the introduction. Oh, praise God. But we had fun. And the Holy Ghost showed up. Anyhow, they're coming back from a trip to Albuquerque. That's the biggest town in New Mexico. Quite a town, by the way. My little brother lives down there, not far from that town. And they were hungry. Jerry was hungry, her son. And the family, it was time to start cooking the meal. But Sister Eastridge had seen this little white house on the edge of town. And it was on 8th Street. I've already gone up on the map trying to find out where this was in my iPad maps. But she thought, I want to stop there, and I don't know what I'm going to say, but I feel like the Lord wants me to visit that house. I'm not sure what to say, but so Jerry, I think, you know, he said something, her son, about, Mom, come on, it's time to get the meal, you know, it's time to get dinner cooking, and ooh, man, I'd love to come home and smell chili, you know, smell taco night. Them dogs start yipping again. I get to talking about tacos. Man, I've got like an anointed cook at my house. She moves in the spirit of God. It's true. Anyway, so he drove her over there and she got out of the car and walked up to the door. And again, she just felt impressed. She got into that word, go. God said, go. And she felt like God sent her right to that house. Never been there, didn't know who lived there. And when they opened up the door, she said something like, does anybody need to be healed here? She said, we pray for the sick and they get healed. When's the last time you started a little conversation like that? And they brought her in, and it just so happens that they had a little boy who had played with gas and matches and set himself on fire. And he was 3 years old, And he was laying in that house on what they called like a little child's cot, little sheet over him. There were so many burns and problems and things that they couldn't put anything heavy on him. Little light was on nearby. And she said, well, this is what the doctor says. Okay, so they're letting him be there at the house a couple days, but in the third day, they were supposed to take him to the hospital, and they said he's just not going to make it. That's basically what they were saying about his situation. He'd been so badly burned. And Sister Eastridge said, may I hold him? And, of course, the mom was sure. So she picks up this little three-year-old, and he was physically a disaster. But she lifted up her eyes to God and said something like, God, would you touch this little one? I rebuke the burns. I restore his skin. Restore this little boy. She had this amazing prayer. I don't think they'd ever heard anybody pray like that. When she got done praying, she looked down and all the burns were gone. Come on now. I want to talk to you about if you will go. If you will go and pray and love and bless people, God will show up in power. All the beginning and development of scars were gone. All the burns were gone. He had brand new skin and flesh. It was an outstanding and an immediate miracle. They had never seen anything like that. I believe we're going to see unusual things, Sister Gina. I believe we're going to see unusual things, but it's predicated on you and me getting outside these walls and loving people and blessing people and praying over people. Lift your hands. Let's give God thanks for his miracle. Thank you, God. Oh, it gets better, ladies and gentlemen. It gets better. Because 3 weeks later, in the newspaper, there was an article about this church that was for sale. So they needed a building. They were in a garage. She drove over to meet the pastor and the board. And she explained their situation. She said, I've got about 35 people. We are meeting in a garage. We need a church desperately. And we managed to put together $500, and that's all I've got. Now, in those days, $500 could buy a few things. Now you can get a hamburger and fries and maybe a large chocolate shake. But she said, that's all we got. And so she knew that it was kind of a long shot because in the article it said, we will accept only offers over $3,000. That was 1/6. Well, the pastor sort of went into fuss mode. And the board members, all except one, went into kind of a agitated, you know. They couldn't, you know how it is. I've got an amazing board, so I'm so blessed. I've got these men of God on my board that help us in so many ways and love God and love people and love the work of God and love the kingdom. So I wouldn't know what that's like, but anyway, I've heard stories through the years, okay, that it can get rough sometimes when you're having a tough board meeting. And all of a sudden, this is so cool, all of a sudden, one of the board members who never said anything, he was always the quiet one. He raises his hand and he says, I have been on this board for years and I never say anything. I just get behind whatever you guys. He said, I've never done this before. But he said, 3 weeks ago, Mrs. Eastridge came to my house and my little baby had been burned. And she walked in and prayed a prayer over him and he's been totally healed. And I make a motion that we sell this church for $500. And so he made a motion and it was unanimously passed. And they sold that building that was probably worth $3,000 or more dollars to Mrs. Eastridge and 35 apostolics because God confirmed his word with signs following. Come on, I wish somebody would dance and get happy in the Holy Ghost. And these signs shall follow. You can't even say God without saying go. Because 2/3 of the word God is go. Wow, think about that. Wouldn't that be a sermon? 2/3 of God is get out there. Get after it. Touch people. 2/3 of God is go. What is it about go, he said. The elder said, what is it about that word that throws you? It's a simple concept. It's not really complicated, so why aren't you doing it? Because that's when he said he'd show up in power. Let me tell you what happened to me. Just several days ago, I got this little nutritional product that I don't sell it. I just sort of fill up bottles of it and give it to people. And usually I end up either buying them a bottle or fixing up a little spray bottle for them. Because it's so good for so many things. It's called Silver Biotics. It's like a form of colloidal silver, but it's smaller. Colloidal speaks of size, small. This is nano size, so it's even smaller. And it kills 650 pathogens. And now you can tell that I'm into nutrition, but that's a secret. Don't tell nobody. Kills MRSA. Kills Ebola. And I had a bottle, a brand new spray bottle, filled up with it. And I was on my way to drop it off at one of our new family's houses, right? Well, I'd never been to their house, so I used my iPad maps, and it was telling me to get on Sullivan. Anybody ever hear of Sullivan? Probably one of the main drags. Is that the right word to use? One of the main highways, roads, streets in Galloway, this west side, especially, of course, going west, going east. And I got on Sullivan. Now, you see, I can't figure out why I didn't see this sooner, but have you ever had an epiphany? Have you ever had the chance to see something from a different angle? And then when you saw what you'd seen, but you saw it from a different angle or a different position, it looked different. It hit you differently. I had what felt like an epiphany. What do you mean? I mean, I drove down Sullivan and I saw how broken our city is. I saw how broken Galloway is. I saw that I would always normally see the pretty side of Galloway and the pretty side of Grove City. But when you drive down Sullivan praying, you see the town from another vantage point. And it dawned on me, we are flying around on freeways. We don't understand the woundedness of our community. We don't understand the brokenness. We don't understand the poverty. We don't understand the depression and the condemnation that's in our town because we always drive on the freeways. But I want to challenge you to get off the freeway and drive Norton and drive Sullivan and drive some of these roads. And you will come to understand what happened to me. We're not reaching this town. We're too busy traveling freeways. When's the last time you grabbed somebody's hand? You reached out. And you prayed with them and you cried over them. I stood across the street with my neighbor Aggie, who is open to the things of God. She is the young lady who watches over us like an angel, tattoos and all. And if anybody messes around our property, they're in trouble with her. She'll put on her biker gear and come out and bang on their window. Talk about frightening. And when they especially if they back up and park in front of our house. Not on my watch. That's how she talks. Not on my watch. I'm not letting my Cassini be hurt by no. So she's there like an angel watching over us. But she's the young lady, Brother Sandy, who just several months ago, when I mentioned that justification means just as if never sinned, she had never heard that. That goes way back. We've heard that for 100 years. But she'd never heard that explanation. Justified means just as if never sinned. And when she heard that, she almost started dancing in her driveway. She got so excited that God could actually touch her and see her as somebody, if she would obey him, as somebody who had never sinned in her entire life. She got so happy and so joyful in her driveway. I have never seen her like that. And stuff that you think everybody knows, they don't. Lift your hand with me right now, Lord. Give me, give us a new burden. Give us a new compassion. Give us, Lord, put a new fire. Put a new fire in our hearts. We're so busy riding the freeways. We don't see the brokenness. We don't see the depression. We don't see the woundedness. We're too busy riding freeways. Oh, ne lo que si tom rosa. In the name of Jesus, he said, go, go, get out there, go. What is it about that concept that you can't get or you can't understand? Just get in your car and go. Get on your telephone. Get on your cell phone. Make some calls. Go over to the mall and hand out some church cards. Just get up and do something, because he said, if you want to see my power is to confirm my word. Woo! Come on, let's love him. I'm almost done. In Jesus' name. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise my God. We have no outreach events. Mike, that bothers me most every day. But I'm talking to a soul winner. But you know what I said once, and I said it in Brother Dillingham's old church, Chris, when he was with his father-in-law and up where he came out of before he took the Toledo church. I said, the curse of a church can be a great outreach director. Why? Because people go, okay, I hope Pastor and Mike and Nicole win them all. I hope they bring in new people. He didn't say, those in the ministry, go, go. Get out there. Those that have a license, go. Get out there. He didn't say that. He said, go ye. He was talking to all his, hallelujah, his church. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. What was he saying? He was giving the great commission to the entire church of the living God. What is it about go that you don't get? I challenge you this week, get out of your humdrum. Go to a different restaurant. You don't know where to go to. I got places where they call me by my name. They know what I'm going to order. It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. And before you leave, ask you around there near your table, that you go to a church that believes in prayer and miracles. Would anybody like you to pray for them before you go? We are. It's not just it. And yes, I want Mike and Nicole to come up with an outreach event and a second one and a third one. Let's do it. Let's do it. But it's not just their job. It's not just their job. They do soul winning almost every day of their lives. They're calling people. They're Facebooking people. It's amazing. Why weren't we on the streets a week before Easter? Why weren't we on the streets? I'm just trying to stir you up a little bit. What if we had an outreach event every month or two? Maybe every week or two. Oh, come on. You are. I know what you're looking at, a fanatic. But guess what? I wouldn't be here. Brother Mike, I meant to get by you to tell you I'm going to do a little digging today. Just hang in there with me. Praise God. He's a soul winner. And Sister Nicole, I mean, they're just that, without any, they're just soul winners. But I want to help them with some events. Because we need some band ministry. We need to believe God for a bus. We need to get the waters of baptism troubled on a regular basis. I want to baptize some people. I want to pray some more people through to the Holy Ghost. It's not just their job. It's my job. It's your job. What is it about gold that you don't get? He told you to go. He told me to go. He told us to go. Sister. It's such a neat conversation the other day. And she's down, she's moved up. I sit right behind, I said, Brother Sandy. It just, and when we first really talked to her, brother, precious brother and sister Welch, they're sitting in Cracker Barrel. Woohoo! Cracker Barrel, come on! And we're leaving out, and there they are. We had to stop and sit down. And so she explained. You have to, you know, just let me. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, no problem. No problem. If you knew how big that group is, the stubborn group. I'm a card carrying member. But the neat thing is, come at your own speed. And then it was, 2 weeks later, and I'm in my office, and somebody said, oh, Pastor, Sister So-and-so says, she's got to talk to you right now. I mean, right now. She needs to talk to Pastor right now. Coming in the door. It's like, well, let's see. Is she coming at her own speed now? Woo, man, this is getting exciting. Praise God. And here she is, and the Holy Ghost has fallen on her. And she's been refreshed and renewed. And so, is it exciting? Thank you, Jesus. Sister Regina's a great blessing. She comes with 220 amps in her smile. But she says the other day, oh, and this other thing's happening. Who would have ever thought that I'd be back in a church like this? Who would have ever thought that something else is kicking in? It's my soul winning. And so when I finally came back from blowing a hole in the ceiling and tried to get back down to ground zero. When somebody says they're getting into soul winning, just give me a chance to dance a little bit. She's going to bring, I believe you're going to bring in some people. I believe God's already using you to sow seed. Regina, I believe God's already using you to sow seed. Come on now. There's something about when you go out to eat today, don't just think food, think people. Don't just think a barbecue and hamburger and all that's exciting and fries and all the stuff I can't eat right now. That's why my suit feels like a balloon on me because I've lost 12 pounds because I've got myself back on. Okay, that's good. That's fine. But think people. That's why when Lee Stone King went into the Cracker Barrel before he left, 8 people had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and one of them was the manager. Come on now, we can bring light, we can bring fire, we can bring passion, we can bring miracles everywhere we go because he said, I'll confirm. Come on, sis, up in the aisle. Come on, baby. Linda, you got a soul winning gift inside of you. You've got a soul winning gift inside of you, Linda. People love her. She's got energy, she's got joy. She's got a smile that'll knock the windows out. It's a soul winning thing. Woo! Oh, Tanya, lift your hand and let's love God. Thank you for his goodness. Woo! Thank you for somebody that witnessed. Oh my. We've got people here gifted in this area. Gifted in this area. Oh, in this arena they have an anointing. Praise God. Sister Linda, if you and Jasmine teamed up, you could probably bring 10, 15 people in a few weeks. You got it. Not only that, you speak a Spanish. Yeah. Woo! Hear the Holy Ghost witness to what I'm saying. You want to see miracles? Get out there. You want to see power? Get out there. He said, I will confirm my word with signs following. Woo, come on. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. I would not be here if Alan Abbey, man of God, semi-retired now, had not taught his first home Bible study. Listen to this verse. Can you hear Bible studies in this verse? I'm almost done. And daily in the temple. And daily in the temple. And in every house, yes, 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 they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Can't you see Bible studies in that verse? And daily in the temple. This is our temple. But it says, and in every house. That sounds like soul winning to me. Praise God. Anybody know if that's true? If he had not come to our door and taught us a Bible study, I probably wouldn't be here. But a soul winner found me. First charted, many of you know this, but some of you don't yet. First charted home Bible study taught in UPC history. UPC history was taught to my family. And out of that first Bible study, three apostolic preachers came out of that. And aren't we all still preaching? And that was in 65. Not 1865. 1965. I just wanted to make sure that was clear. If it weren't for a soul winner named Pam Kern, worked at Douglas McDonnell Aircraft, befriended you. She had so many questions, she almost wore Sister Pam out. I tell people, some folks marry millionaires, I married a questionnaire. And I'm sorry, I'm just teasing. I'm sorry. She's so brilliant. She could teach in her sleep. She's so insightful. Sometimes she does because I hear her talking in the night. She's even eloquent in her dreams. But there's an apostolic lady named Pam Kern that attached herself to you. And she almost lost you. Oh, this really gets a hold of me, Aaron. She went back home. She threw herself over her bed and let God know, I'm not letting her go. I'm not quitting. I'm not wrapping up this Bible study. It's not over yet. See, we got to realize teaching a Bible study is not just doing a Bible. It's winning the people. And if you haven't won them yet, figure out another way to teach them another 10 lessons, another 5 lessons. Brother Carnwell talks about one family. He taught them over 50-some lessons before he won them. What is it about goal that we don't get? It's a simple word. It's a powerful word. So Pamela Kern's laying over the bed, weeping and praying and crying for her. A soul winner. One of the greatest we've ever been around, brought her in. You wouldn't have a first lady named Cindy Meadows if there had not been a soul winner in her life. Let's thank God for the soul winners that God has sent our way. Oh my. Hallelujah. Oh, let there be conviction in this house, Lord. Let there be conviction in this house. Spiritual conviction. Give us a baptism, Lord, of knowledge and revelation on what it means to go and keep going and keep loving and keep praying until we bring people of sheaves. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hang in there. Learn from everything that seems to go sideways. Learn from everything. Let everything teach you. A Bible study that caved in, it's going to teach you something if you figure it out. It has a lesson. Everything that didn't work. Listen to this verse, and I'm almost there. Paul said this, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you. I see Bible study charts in that phrase. But have showed you. What was he showing them? But have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Acts 20:20 is the 20/20 vision. When your eyes see right, like God wants them to see, and they see 20/20, they'll get you involved in the harvest. Does this sound like it's solid doctrine? Can you see Bible studies? Okay. Watch this in closing. I went back to examine this story because there were details about it that I had forgotten. Okay, and there's some of the details that I had totally just fallen out of my brain. But years ago, the Freemans were getting ready to leave Louisiana and go to Africa as missionaries. They went, but just before they left, she was doing dishes on a certain morning. She said it was 10 a.m. when the Holy Ghost spoke to her and told her to go out and stand on the porch. And wave, smile and wave. And she thought, wow. She said, I first almost rebuked the devil. Like, that sounds like... And she said, no, that wasn't the devil. But it sounded so odd, you know, to her at first. And she said that, no, that's not the devil. But it kind of, she said she almost, okay, Lord. She thought about it and the way that God talks to her and so on. She knew that it was God. So they had this little church in a little town in Louisiana, right there on the edge of one of the roads there. And so she walked out on the porch. And she said, I looked around. There wasn't a dog. There wasn't a cat. There wasn't nobody. Not even an animal. So she's still there. And wave. You know why sometimes we haven't had the witness? Because we're afraid of being embarrassed. Soften the lights, because I'm going to give you a chance to get under conviction right now. We're afraid to be embarrassed, but sometimes you have to be willing. See? To be embarrassed. Brother, Sister Jones, would you come and sit right up here? And when I open this altar, you're going to be the first ones there, and then we're going to turn around with you, and I'm going to ask you to pray over people. Because it's not fair for them to carry this. And me not be doing my part. And you not excavating what go means. So she's standing there feeling stupid. Just before it looks like you can't take stupid any longer. A miracle sometimes happens right there. And so she said after a while, she said, Lord, is this enough? And he said he didn't say anything. So I knew, oh, okay, I can't go yet. Is this enough, Lord? Nothing had happened. Still feels very embarrassed, right? She's standing there waving. Smiling. You know, if I had seen her, I would think, who's the crazy lady on the porch, you know, that was waving and smiling at nobody? Does anybody know her? Pray for her. All of a sudden, here comes a car. And she's standing there. She really starts waving and smiling because she's finally got somebody to wave and smile at. And the car slows down. If I remember this right, I believe it was a blue Cadillac. Anyhow, it really slows down and she's really smiling and waving. And then when it passed her, she still stood there. And they were looking in the rearview mirror. She could, I guess, they admitted later that they were. She's smiling and waving. Never seen him before. Okay, so this thing, this anointing lifts off of her. She thinks, wow, I don't know what that was about. I suppose I'll never know. And I told you this was just before they went to Africa, South Africa. So 10 years later, that's what I forgot, 10 years later. She's back to that town. And this brother walks up to her and says, you probably won't even remember this, Sister Freeman. But on a certain morning, I got in my car with my shotgun right there. The passenger, leaning up against the passenger seat. And he said, I was a drunkard. And I was going to drive down to the sand pit and blow my brains out. But he said, when I passed your place, you were standing there waving and smiling. And he said, I'd been feeling like nobody really cares. I am hopeless. But he said, when I saw you, I know who you were, the pastor's wife, and you were smiling and you were waving. I thought, well, at least the pastor's wife cares about us. He says, I came into this church, that church there. He said, I was baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. God gave me victory over the bottle, and I now have a Christian wife because of a day when you stood and smiled and waved and gave me hope. Let's love him right now together as Brother Thad comes. And we just take a few moments here. I wish somebody could walk to this altar and stand with Brother and Sister Jones. It's not just their job. Would you come and stand right here and represent our outreach department? I happen to know that most every day they're reaching out to somebody. I want some folks to stand around them and bless them in prayer. We're going to come up with, by the grace of God, some creative ways to outreach. Would you lift your hearts with me one last time as we just take a few moments? Is there anybody that you're loving? Is there anybody that you're witnessing to? Is there anybody that you're caring for? Is there anybody that you're reaching out to touch? What is it about go that's so hard to understand? What is it about go? Are you reaching out to your kids? Are you reaching out to your grandkids? Are you reaching out to your neighbors? Are you reaching out to kinfolk and people that you work with? Oh, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Oh, what is it about go that we don't understand? Help me, Jesus, help us. Help us as a church. Could I ask for the rest of us to come? Would you join me for a few moments around the front? I'm asking for the rest of us to come. This go is to every one of us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, could you raise your hand and ask God this question? What, Lord, what life could I touch this week? What name would you bring in front of my spiritual eyes? What family would you lay on my heart? What neighbor, Lord, would you give me a burden for? Oh, great God, in Jesus' name. Brother Sandy, come stand with us.